This is Dr. X.H. Balthazar. I'm broadcasting in the hopes of reaching an audience with interest in my field of study. Through my years of research, I've scoured the globe in search of the unordinary and uncanny. This work has granted me knowledge of other dimensions that intertwine with ours, leaving behind anomalies in our world. Some of you may call what I find myths, folklore, or even urban legends, but I can assure you that they are nothing of the sort. Not convinced? Well, let's see what sort of recollections we can scare up together. Ah, here's one you might be familiar with. Therianthropy. Known by most as shape-shifting, this ancient ability allows us humans to morph into other creatures of their choosing. Sometimes that can be other humans. As I was investigating these supernatural humans, I came across a young man at a Texas diner who claimed to have a run-in with a more terrifying and malicious spawn of that breed. I've recorded the interview in its entirety for later review, which I share with you now. This is Dr. Balthazar. I'm recording this interview on October 28, 1956, at the Old South Pancake House in Fort Worth, Texas. Can you state your full name for me?
It's Alex Ogletree. Do you need my birthday and address?
Just your age will suffice.
I'm 23 years old. I'm from Denton, Texas.
That's fine, Alex. You say you've had a run-in with a strange character.
Well, I guess that's one way to describe it.
Where were you when you interacted with this being?
I was in Jimville, right on the border of Oklahoma.
Alone?
No. Two of my teammates were with me, Darren and Evan. We were on the football team together.
I see.
Darren had invited me and Evan up there for the weekend. Nothing crazy, we just wanted to have a weekend with the boys. We'd drink a few beers, fish a little, maybe even shoot something too. It was gonna be great.
And your parents were fine with the three of you being all alone?
Darren's dad left the beer there for us to finish, and Evan has free range to do whatever.
What about your parents?
It's just me and my mom. I mean, she was open to the idea, but I don't know.
What do you mean?
I don't know. She was very serious about the whole thing. Like dead serious about us being careful. She said to look out for bears, but it didn't seem like she was really talking about the bears, you know?
It's hard to tell your kids the truth, so she let you go.
The next day we were off. Everything was fine until we got there. I don't know, but it was like right as we got there, we just all felt uneasy. Must have been the place, because we were really out in the boonies. We were the only house in a 5-mile radius. That was probably it.
When did things start to take off that night?
Well, we got settled in and then pretty much started the party right then. We broke open the case, started pounding them. We weren't even thinking about water at the time. We were just drinking until it got dark and then we kept drinking. All of a sudden, Evan tells everyone to quiet down. Says he heard something outside. I asked if it was the wind, but he wasn't fooling around.
What was the sound? It's all right. Take your time.
It's cool. I don't really know how to describe it. It was like a weird snore. Like someone trying to impersonate a human snarling. It just blended into the background noise, but once Darren pointed it out...
What happened after that?
Darren was outside with his gun. Evan and I were looking out of the windows. You couldn't see anything that wasn't under a light. It was pitch black. Then Darren screamed and bam! He fired off a shot. We look at him and he's got this smoking gun aimed out towards the darkness. He says, a big fucking guy. Like bigger than us. And we're big guys too. Like Darren's around 6'4", 6'5". Evan was a little shorter, but he had mass.
Was he able to hit the target?
No. Missed.
I see. Can you describe this person in more detail?
According to Darren, he was about 7 feet tall, pale skin like he'd never been in the sun his entire life, and matted down hair.
How was he reacting to your presence? Did he seem frightened at all? We can pick this up at a later time.
No, I just want to get this over with. To answer your question, he was manic. Darren said it was like he had never seen another person before in his entire life. After that, Darren slammed the door shut. We decided we'd take turns watching because it didn't seem like he was going to leave us alone. So Darren took the first watch. I was second.
What time was this?
Geez, I don't know, maybe 4 a.m.? Well, that's when he came back. I had forgotten I could drink water instead of beer, but I don't think my nerves would have let me.
The amount of alcohol you digested doesn't give me much confidence this story is real.
I wasn't hammered. I know my limits. I was wired. I wasn't slurring, and I wasn't falling over, all right?
If you say so, please continue.
Like I said, it was around 4 a.m. when the thing came back. I had Darren's gun in my lap when I heard the weird snarl that thing made.
I know this might sound foolish, but could you recreate the noise it made? It will help my investigation further.
I don't know, just imagine a human trying to imitate a dog when he's riled up. It was strange, like...
Continue.
I got up to investigate. I tried to say something to wake my friends, but I couldn't. No words would come out. All I could do was watch. Then it appeared in front of me. I walked into the porch light and I saw it. It was like Darren said, 7 feet tall, pale, mangy. It didn't move like a human either. It looked like it was uncomfortable in its body, like his skin was too tight. Then he started towards me. So I yell for him to stop. I raise the gun at him too. So he stops. And you know what he did next? He smiled. He fucking smiled at me like he was about to get away with murder.
Terrifying.
That wasn't even the worst part. As he got closer, I could see his face better. This is when I knew things were very wrong. He looked like Darren. Not a recreation, a doppelganger. It was like he rearranged his own skull to look like Darren's. Then he screamed, and it was Darren's voice.
Are you positive?
Yes. Yes, it was exactly Darren's scream. Thankfully, that woke Darren and Evan up. So they come running out to the porch with me. Darren instantly freaks out. He starts throwing up all over the porch. Evan's frozen. Then it runs right at us. I'm scared as hell, but, you know, adrenaline. I raise up the gun. I fire a couple times, but I miss. It reaches us, knocks Darren back into the wall of the house with a swipe of its hand. Like I said, we aren't small guys. He literally launched Darren off of his feet.
Like he was lighter than air.
Exactly. It was close enough to where I couldn't miss, so I fired directly at its gut before it could get me.
What happened after that?
It took those shots like a champ. I mean, it was bleeding all over the place, but still smiling at us. It didn't seem like he felt anything. I kept the gun raised at him as he backed up into the darkness.
Why didn't you fire again?
He was backing off. I'm not a psychopath.
But it wanted to do you harm.
I know that. I know. I couldn't.
I understand. What happened after that?
We stayed awake until sunrise. Darren was in shock and banged up pretty badly. We were all in shock, but I wanted to get the hell out of there. Evan and I had to pack up everything and get him into the car. That was it.
Did he say anything? Was he like that the whole ride home?
By the end, he had snapped out of it a little. He kept asking why it chose him over and over again. I was behind the wheel and getting agitated, so I pull over and yell at him that we don't know either. I don't think I should have been so hard on him, but tensions were high.
I see. Have you been in contact with any of them since the incident?
I speak to Evan every once in a while, but I haven't heard from Darren. He's been shut up in a psych ward. For other reasons. It wasn't just the incident that night.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what that thing was? I've tried to figure it out, but haven't found anything other than a skinwalker. But it's not that. I know it's not.
I can tell you this being is most definitely a cousin of the skinwalker. They both have the ability to change their forms. Skinwalkers, as you've probably read, only change into certain animals. What you've encountered is some kind of extra-dimensional doppelganger, and a malicious one at that. I've been trying to locate exactly which plane it's crossed over from, but I would need to investigate one in the wild.
I see.
Do you think you could give me the address of your friend's cabin?
Well, it's Darren's cabin. I don't know if his family would be cool with you showing up there.
That was the end of the tape I'd brought. I didn't know he'd want to reveal so much to me. I guess some things can't be kept quiet for long. After my discussion with Alex, he was kind enough to pinpoint the location. I spent the weekend there looking for signs of the anomaly. I arrived at the location, but was unable to find any signs of the creature around. I decided to head deeper into the forest. About a mile in, I made camp. The first night was quiet. There was a run-in with a few deer, but nothing noteworthy. The next morning, however, I discovered elongated footprints in my campground. There were 5 digits on each one, but they were all different shapes and sizes. I followed the tracks, but I lost the trail about a mile in. I headed back to camp. The footprints I recorded were all different lengths and widths. It seemed the anomaly was shifting in the middle of the night from whatever its true form may be. The second night I made contact. It was around 9:30 p.m. when I heard the noises. Alex was correct in his distinction of the sound of its approaching noise. Listen here. It wasn't long before the thing got close enough for me to see its appearance. Alex's description was mostly correct. It was tall, pale, but he didn't mention how frail it was. It looked malnourished, as if it hadn't had a thing to eat. I called out to the creature to get a response, but it was no use. The creature just stood there watching me. All the while, muscles in its face were twitching. I couldn't see exactly what it was doing, but I had anticipated the outcome. About 3 minutes of this interaction, it took a step forward. It had my face, yet its body remained the same. As it came into the fire's light, I noticed how its muscles moved. They pulsated and twitched, both growing and shrinking as if he was made of gelatin. As the creature approached, I made my stand. It charged at me. I pulled out a firearm and aimed. I was able to hit it 3 times in the frontal lobe. He fell at my feet. The muscles stopped twitching. However, he had my same face. I've taken photos of the dead creature. There was no video footage due to shapeshifter unnatural perception of surveillance. It's a preternatural gift these creatures have that allows them to go undetected. I took samples from the creature, but I was forced to leave the body behind. When I drove my truck back, the body had disappeared. Only a few droplets of blood remained. That's all I can relay to you for now. When I know, you will too. This is Dr. XH Balthazar signing off. Goodbye and good night.
Fear Frequency was written by Danny Fossetta and created by Kristen Verbitsky. Produced by Adam Hinneker. Voiced by Mallory Bryant, Tate Winston, and Andrew Steiner.